Podcast, episode 330. What's the title, Fuzz? 330?
Really? Okay, the title is A Woo and Chill.
Thank you, Fuzz. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzz.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are doing another hookah cast in Shiva's backyard. It is fucking glorious out right now.
I checked the weather. It is 68 degrees.
That is perfect.
And clear.
We are here and we have bellies full of pork chops and potatoes, thanks to Shiva.
Thank you. So good.
It was really good.
I had some bit of broccoli, too.
And we've survived yet another exciting week here in Texas.
Woo!
Despite people's best efforts.
I suppose. I'm just...
Did you guys, like, face death on a daily basis or something?
Oh, little do you know, Fuzz. Little do you know.
Pony cons are hardcore.
I know, right?
They're coming at you with hooves and knives.
That was more unicorns, referring to...
Unicorns are sharp, man. You gotta put corks in those fuckers.
That's right.
Then they can't channel their magic.
It's sort of like, what... Does Kyle do that in the football? Like, the antlered characters, they have, like, things under...
Actually, in the Kyle's books, there's a... It's a side point because one of the characters gets gored by an antlered...
animal.
An antlered animal.
Yeah.
In, like, book two, and it goes on throughout... It's like an ongoing story point throughout the rest of the books.
Yeah.
And it was mentioned that the reason this was possible because, like, the courts found it unconstitutional to force antlered...
Antlered or horned
Antlered or horned mammals. People, mammals, to have to shave down. Which is, like... It was just one of those plot points. But yes, in Kyle's books, they made it illegal to force a deer or warthog or anybody to force to pare down their horns. Or hooves or slot or their tusks.
That's why there is no ivory industry in Kyle's universe.
Yep. Because if you fucking murder a dude to get his tusks.
No, like they were like voluntarily shaving them down to play football.
Oh, okay.
they were like super, super rare because it was like one dude.
Yeah. There's no elephants in the football. I bet there's like some elephant sumo wrestlers though in Kyle's universe.
Ah, that'd be cool.
It would be like elephant only league. But the thing is, they don't have, like, the massive size disparities in, like, Zootopia.
Right,
everybody's
yeah.
Everybody's kind of within a general range.
It's more furry reality.
It's furry reality, not, like, Zootopia furry.
Everyone sort
scaling
of...
Scaling issues.
Yeah, where there's, like, Finnick weighs 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And then the hamsters are, like, a handful.
Yeah.
Granted, I fucking love the little hamster dudes.
Oh, they're cute, yeah. The Zootopia world... is just very Disney. They need any more of it, damn it. They need to put out better content. God damn that book, it made me mad.
Oh, so, on that topic, okay. Actually, because we had been talking about that, and then I looked online, and I was, like, looking to see what other Zootopia stuff was out there, and I found this book on Amazon that had, like, a half-written-in-Japanese cover and had drawings instead of the CG versions of the characters, and I thought, I wonder what that is. So I ordered it, because it was only like $12.99, and they had like 3 left, so I was like, let me grab this. So it turns out, and I'll show it to you sometime if you come over, it turns out it is a book designed to teach Japanese speakers how to speak English.
Oh.
So the entire story of the movie is drawn...
Uh-huh.
So,
with a really cute art style.
So really nice art style of the Zootopia characters. And it has, it reads a little like a storybook. So like there'll be like a paragraph in English describing what's going on. And there'll be the same thing in Japanese kanji. And then there's a little section that says, and it starts at the beginning. It's like complex words. And it's like... I don't know, racial discrimination, and it has the kanji of, like knives and a whip.
What?
And as the book goes along, at the end, it's, like, really hard words, and, you know, it's some other, it's like 3 examples and a little octagon with the kanji.
Hippopotamus, you know.
Yeah. Well, those are the early ones. Are probably like, how do you say rabbit? And it's just like a stretched hole is the kanji.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fox is just a knot and rope.
Yeah, a tube, a hollow tube. A hollow tube. Like a stroker.
Like,
yes.
The Cicero. It's just a mouth. Yeah, tube, yeah. It's a straight tube.
That's also Weasel.
Yeah.
And in some art, otters.
Otter mm-hmm. space.
Otter space, yes.
It's a real thing.
So that's cool. So it's actually kind of neat.
That's the one that had, like, Finnick and Nick on the cover?
No, I think you're thinking of that Seth Iova porn comic that's posted on FA where they're fucking in Finnick's van.
Which had, like, they got some Japanese artist off Pixiv to do the cover, but the art isn't the same as the interior.
Hate to say it, kind of like Genus.
Yeah, isn't that the case? So they got the really nice cover, but like, the art's not the same on the interior.
No, this is something different. Okay. I think.
Well, yeah. Anyways,
I was joking about the porn comic. I mean, it is a real thing. Obviously. Yeah. But that's actually common in like comics, though. You know, you have like one person do the cover, and sometimes it'll be like this really amazingly detailed painting, and then you have like somebody else do the interior. Yeah. Or you have your regular artist do the interior, and you have different people do each cover, or something like that.
That's really common.
My main complaint is when the quality varies greatly.
Yeah, where you get a really, really, really sweet cover, and the interior garbage is by some artist. It's sort of like
the cutscene for a video game looks like some beautiful, amazing CG animation, and then it's like Super Mario 3 when you're playing the game.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, that's an adequate comparison.
You have a bony little back.
Yes, he does. We have a special guest. The dog is here, too.
Yes.
Yeah. You hear a real live awoo.
Yep. But he is standing right next to me, and I am petting him.
Because he is a good dog.
Yes, I will pet the puppers. Oh, he's like... He wants to try the hookah. No, I don't think he'd be able to.
He's not good at capping the hose.
Yeah. But yeah, we're 1 week out from Nightmare Nights. Everything's going according to plan. The printers are printing and not catching fire. And
that being said, we won't be recording next
week. Yeah, we won't be recording next week because next Thursday I'll be a little busy.
A tidge. A smidge.
And the laptop we're recording on will be in the registration room running registration stuff.
And the printers. It slightly harder to record. I mean, we could all yell at the mic in registration if you run around crazy, but that's not very
entertaining. I was just thinking that. If the computer's going to be there anyway, go ahead and set up the mic, and we'll be like, here you go, Pony Butt is the badge name. And
yeah, just record. It's like one night in registration, badge pickup.
Not an exciting episode.
Yeah, it's like, what's the name? Cool. You got your ID? Cool. Let me check the list. All right. Okay. Last name, M. It's on this page. Flip, flip, flip. All right, here it is. Harambe is best pony. Okay. Hand it over.
Actually a badge.
Actually was a badge, yeah. Also, Bodie McBoatface. Thankfully, everybody kind of... I mean, there's some silly, like, I'm an edgy teenager kind of character names that they put on badges, but most people are just pretty common stuff. Nothing too out there.
Some grim, dark...
Yeah.
Dark.
Dark Lord Brightblade the X'd.
What's he doing?
Digging.
Oh.
He's got one spot. He's determined to make a hole, and we've been...
And you have a nice lawn. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah, well, that place was scuffed up when we got here, so it was already... It got really muddy this spring, and the grass kind of got drowned, so...
So his gentle wee paws are like, I don't have to dig through the top layer.
Exactly. I'm thinking about, like, getting, like, a tomato cage next spring and popping a chunk of soil over it so that it has time to...
Grow.
And he doesn't get to fucking dig.
That's a straight maneuver. The tomato cage. It's kind of gross. Not everyone's into it.
Okay.
What?
I don't even know. He just, like, he opened his mouth and was rambling briefly.
I started speaking in tongues. I mean, listen to this so no crash audio, and they just start going, oh,
okay.
I like Snow Crash. Snow Crash is good.
Have you heard the audiobook version?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Yeah.
I've also heard Stargazer recite parts of it, too.
So I received Snow Crash, the paperback, which I read the paperback first before I got the audiobook, as a Christmas present 1 year. Mm. And So we're all sitting around after Christmas dinner, full and fat and happy, and I start reading the first few pages, and Tyrion's brother is like, oh, what part are you at? And I'm literally like 8 pages in, and he knows exactly where I'm at. I'm at the Deliverator part. He's like, yeah, is it describing like the treads on the tires and everything? And I was like, that's on the next page, yes. Like, he knew that book like that, you know?
Those people who fucking love that love fucking Snow Crash. I like it, but there's some dedicated fans.
Yeah, I have not read any of Stevenson's other works. Like, I got on that kick about Cyberpunk for a while, so I read Neuromancer and I read Snow Crash. And I want to read more of them, but it's like time.
So,
you know?
So, some of the fans... I got laid off last Thursday, which is why I decided was not on the podcast, because I was having a minor life crisis. Well, I've been trying to keep busy the past week and not just, like, sit on the computer and just be a fat fuck. So we moved into the house and we kind of got everything to a stable point and then stopped. Like you do. You know, this is people who move. You kind of move in, and once you get the essentials done, yeah.
Let's shove all this shit in that one closet.
We'll come back to it eventually. Well, so, been going through and doing stuff around the house to kind of get things set up. And one thing I decided to do today was, I'll unpack all the books.
Oh,
that's a lot of books.
Yeah, like 10 banger boxes full.
Nice.
And it's like, okay, I'm not going to go and I'm just going to get these on the bookshelf so I can get the boxes out. And then I find myself, I've just started organizing.
Now, I was like, I know how this is going to end.
So I'm not bothering with alphabetical, I'll say that, but I found myself with 2 Mercedes Lackeys, and then I had 4, and then I had 6, and then I had half a shelf full. And then I've noticed that I've built up other... It's like, fuck, I've just made this a lot harder than... But I can't stop.
Right.
The bedroom I'm doing this in is now a fucking wreck of boxes and books everywhere.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? Like, you guys could have done it in the main room and made that like a big library.
In that one?
That room that you weren't quite sure what to do in when you first walk
in
your front door.
The one in the middle of the house.
The only reason that we haven't done that is we weren't sure if we're going to need, if we get a roommate and we need to empty out the guest bedroom. So we might need that room in there for the stuff in the guest bed, namely the exercise bike and the TV.
Right.
So we kind of hesitated to really go too far into that.
Gotcha.
So right now, bookshelves are in the bedroom, because there's a lot of room in the bedroom.
It's like, also partially, I just like to like walk into someone's house and see a fuckload of books, because I'm like, yay, books!
Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's on the possibility of maybe in the future, but for now...
Yeah.
Because, especially with, you know, having a lost job.
Yeah.
Don't know what we'll have to do to stabilize things, so.
Well, hopefully,
we can find Sarah a good corner.
Peddle his ass? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta use all your assets.
Literally. I mean, in the custom on Huskies, the tail comes pre-curled.
Sure, yeah.
So, that's... really about it. I mean, just con stuff, but I had a really productive day, and like, just doing the math on the badges alone, using the faster printer saves 3 hours of cycle time.
Nice.
Over the course of the con. Like, and my thing was like, that gives me 3 more hours to exist in a vague state of quasi-panic before the convention.
Mm-hmm. Ha-ha! Speaking of cycle time, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I just had this thought randomly. I read an interesting article about Apple, how iPhones are made. But like, apparently, like, traditional plastic phones can be spat out of a mold, like, 2 a minute or something like that. And, like, a single iPhone, just the aluminum part, takes, like, 4 full minutes with these massive machines to... because they mill it out of a solid piece of aluminum, and they produce 1 million iPhones a day, and they just like there are whole industries that exist overseas just to support Apple, because there's like 3 companies in the world that make these kinds of like milling machines, and they're huge rigs And the biggest ones only make like 15,000 machines a year. And Apple has some ridiculous, like a couple hundred thousand of them or something like that. Hmm. Yeah. It's really insane.
Yeah. And I mean, and the thing is, the difference between the two is 7 seconds.
It adds up over a thousand badges.
When running at full speed, it takes 19 seconds to produce a badge.
Yeah.
But if we use the older ones, it takes 26 seconds. And that's warmed up, running at full speed.
And they you have them, like, queued up.
Yeah. So that's made my day a lot easier. Yeah. I was able to get a lot more done in a lot less time.
Oh, I can talk about what I've done recently. I was telling Shiva earlier, so my goal for this year is I want to be able to shut down my server by the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gradually offloading things onto different services. Like I found an email host. So because I read 8 years too late that, excuse me, sorry, Shiva's delicious dinner there.
Making a reappearance.
Compliments to the chef. You really shouldn't run your own email server if you can avoid it, unless you're like a total fucking expert. And even then, it's not a good idea.
It's a headache.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of this from doing it in a business sense. It's a fucking headache.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm a publisher. I want to focus on reading and editing and typography and actually selling the books. I don't want to be a server admin. I am because I have to be. And then I was like, you know, I could do this all for probably less money and actually on platforms where I will have support staff, where if something goes wrong, I can send it a ticket and they won't tell me to fuck myself because I'm on an unmanaged server.
Mm.
So I got my email moved over. And I also, the one I'm really happy about, I migrated Bad Dog Books to a site that specifically works with WordPress sites, and they migrated all my data over. They ironed out a couple of bumps and everything, but now it has access to like a worldwide CDN. And what's the matter?
I flattened my phone, so I don't have the Notcast password anymore.
I had to think for a second, like, where the fuck do I have it stored? I got it.
Yeah, okay, basically, my phone had been hanging up. Like, not hanging up, like, hanging and locking. So I just wiped it. So you
factory reset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need the the passwordy.
So Bad Dog Books now has a worldwide CDN and server caching all over the place. It should run a lot faster. It should serve its content a lot faster. And it's a different system now, which I was talking earlier about the limitations of my server, that should allow me to do more things. And it's up and running perfectly. And I'm really happy about that, because for someone that's like done all this shit himself, it's a really daunting prospect to be like, let's take this quite complex website and its database of all this customer information and
port
it over and make sure that everyone still has like all their purchases and they can still download them and stuff like that. So I'm really happy about that. And
well, if you need any help, I've got time. And I've done similar stuff.
Yay! I need to find a web host for non-WordPress websites as well, because Tieran's website is like, I just gave up on fuzzwolf.com because everyone uses different things like FA and stuff anyway. I think fuzzwolf.com just redirects to like my Tumblr or something now. I can't remember, to be honest. But Tieran still has a website, so I have to find something kind of just basic and simple for him. His is like super high tech for 2001. So not super high demand.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been up to and what I will continue to be up to for the next few months.
I've been trying to think of stuff so I'm not trying to be productive and not just like loll on the computer all day.
Yeah. Take it as an opportunity to maybe do some shit that you've wanted to do.
Sarah's parents are one thing we've been needing and we haven't bought because I said that they were going to get for us, Sarah's parents are going to get me a wheelbarrow, which sounds weird until you realize that I want to rip out like an entire flower bed and turn it into an herb garden. So.
This is the kind of shit you start getting excited about when you own a home, though.
Well, because I cook so much, whenever I want to buy like herbs at the store, it's like $3 for when I need like a pinch, and I have to buy $3 worth of herbs, and then the rest go to waste.
Right.
It drives me fucking nuts because I have to buy a big chunk that I end up losing half of because I don't need that much of it. But nobody sells like just get a clipping. I mean, I'd love it if there would be, like, a greenhouse where I could drive up and say, hey, I need this, this, and this, and just walk in, get clippings, and go. That would be
That's got to be a thing that some independent gardeners do or something.
Where, you know, you need something, and you just go in, get a little bit, and maybe, like, a subscription service where you could go into, like, a place, and, you know, scan a card, walk in, and you
take what you need.
It's within reason. Like, you've got a quota per month of what you can get.
Maybe, like, how many pounds, like, or something.
Or, you know, like, you walk in. So, kind of like you do for Loot Crate or something else, where you subscribe to it.
Yeah.
And it's something cheap, like $5 a month or something. And then you walk in, you take a couple of clippings, so long as they're available. Like, obviously, if somebody's come in and wiped out something a month, you're not going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
But, so long as they have a reasonable amount, you know, it's available. I mean, like in Thanksgiving time, people are going to come in and hit, like, say, the sage and wipe it out. And they got to make sure people don't kill the fucking plants.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you want to come in and get some of this, some of that? Okay.
Maybe you got to, like certified, you know what you're doing, right? Like, at some of, like, the makerspace stuff that has, like, the...
Yeah.
The super high-end equipment, you have to take a class at their location that shows you how to use the equipment right.
Or you have to have, like, you grab a person and you say, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And they do the clipping for you so you don't go and savage a plant. You know?
Yeah.
But you pay, instead of going in and paying by the X, you say, I want this, this, this. And then maybe you could start getting, like, businesses and such that want to do that. And then...
Yeah.
They place orders where I want this, 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 and they send out.
If this doesn't already exist, maybe you should start it.
I don't know enough about gardening to be able to do this, but maybe in Dallas, or because it's such a big, dense city, there might be a call for it. I just don't know enough about growing shit to be able to pull that off.
Call it plant crate. You know, I had another goofy idea just now because I was trying to think of a name for that. I was like, veg crate, but then people would misread it as vag crate, but so you'd get like a lot of 1 month subscriptions from horny people, and then they'd be like, what this, the fuck is all
why
this?
Why did they send me a pepper? No, that's called a CSA, and those, like, do exist.
Well, I guess I'm supposed to fuck this. Oh, it burns! Why?
But they actually do have subscriptions like this.
Why is my semen acid?
Basically, you sign up for this, and then once every 2 weeks, once a week, you can opt into whatever, and then they'll drop a box of veggies. You either, there's some that deliver it, and there's some that you go and pick it up. And it's a random variety of seasonal vegetables.
That's what that serial killer had, Savern. A box of veggies.
Oh, yeah.
I just had another thought, too. I could start a service called Milk Crate towards college students, and like each month they get shit that college students can't afford, like ramen. Socks and ramen.
That would actually, I wonder if that would work, like a bunch of like college staples.
Yeah.
Socks.
Like staples.
Hmm. Well, like you said, like socks, like ramen, like,
yeah,
you know, some bare basics where you it gets once a month and
one nice item every month, like a fleshlight, you know, so, something that they need but can't necessarily afford.
Fleshlights are pretty expensive, though.
You know, just something where you get a certain amount of
that'd be the platinum
basics
edition.
Delivered each month.
Yeah, yeah.
So just I wonder.
I just like the name Milk Crate because, you know,
God.
Well,
for my nephew,
it's probably like a hentai crate.
My nephew's birthday is August, and he was 8 or 9, and he's kind of a scientific, engineering little dude. So I ended up getting him a subscription to one of, it was Spangler Science Club. Which I'm wondering if it's like Eon Spangler, like Ghostbusters type tandem.
Probably.
But basically once a month they send him a box of basically science experiments where he could go and tinker. And it's very much low
kid. Just a bottle of hydrochloric acid.
Actually, I think one was like a bottle and some glow sticks to like look at how light works in water.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I got him a 3-month subscription to do that kind of stuff. Yeet. There's all kinds
do
of...
Do the science.
That's cool.
And a subscription.
You're encouraging STEM.
Exactly.
Don't be like us. No.
There's a club I actually still subscribe to. I've actually canceled Loot Crate. I'll occasionally sign up for a month when they've got something of my interest. But
yeah.
Mostly...
But it's like Chack At Month and the box is actually L-shaped.
No, usually it's something involving WoW or I got the Deadpool one. So I got a really neat Deadpool shirt. I have one called Try the World, which is every 2 months they'll send me a box and it's sourced from a particular country.
Oh, so like international candy and stuff?
Yeah, so I've got one from Thailand, I've gotten one from Portugal, Sweden was one... I'm not sure what the next one was, but usually there's a couple candies, there's a couple seasoning packs, there's a couple of staple items, and usually some kind of jam or sauce. Mm-hmm. A couple of the ones I got, like a couple small bottles of olive oil. Like the Sweden one gave me a little thing, a lingonberry jam. Like, you get it.
So you can get the IKEA thing going on.
The Switzerland one had a clock in it.
Tiny bar of Nazi gold.
But it's all food. God. So, but no, they sent me, there's chocolates in one that was really good. I got one for Rio when the Olympics were going on.
Uh-huh.
And
it came with the bacteria that was in the water.
No, but it did give me the cheesy puff, the chewy cheesy puffs you get at Fogo's. A mix for
did
that.
Did it have an Olympic medal that was actually chocolate on the inside?
Oh, it's getting a little harsh.
I thought I was just so amusing that you were laughing your ass off.
I like this tangerine, though.
It is nice.
I prefer Blue Mist, but I like this one.
Oh, man. Shiva let me like smell it earlier to be like, what do you think of this? And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it's... When you just smell the shisha, it's like, oh, it's fucking tangerine. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it smells really good. I like it.
Yeah.
It tastes good, too.
So, at this point, we are 27 minutes in or so, once I cut it down. So, we should probably go into the email portion, because we're 27 minutes in and a quarter through my battery.
You know, I don't know why. I put my phone away, because I was like, I'm going to be podcasting. I'm not going to need it. And then I was like, wait a minute, we read emails on this show.
I can go print them out on the printer if you really want them.
Oh, man.
Really?
Taking it old school.
It's like, oh, no, there's a new sign-in from a Galaxy Note. Oh, shit, it's a Galaxy Note 7. Oh, God.
No, it's a 4.
Yeah.
Everybody fucking backs up.
A 4 I'm still fucking paying off for, like, another 6 months.
Oh.
Well, oh, sorry, AT&T stopped doing the whole 2-year plan, and they went to 2 years of just paying for it.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we had that with Panther's phone, and we were like, wait a minute, we can just fucking pay this off.
Yeah.
So we did.
And it's
actually lowered our bill by, like, $15 a month at least.
Well, unfortunately, me and Siam needed, ours were both locking up, so we needed to upgrade. And actually, what happened was I got one of the small 9 megs, and I was constantly out of space. He got his 1 month later and got a 16 and was okay, but his was locking up, even after factory reformatting, and the battery was fucking dead. Nope.
He's like, oh, you're looking at me? I should kiss you.
And then at the same time, Sarah started... So we end up having to update all 3 phones at the same go.
At the same time.
And that gets expensive.
Yeah. So, before we read email, I just happened to notice that we got a question asked in the Telegram Notcast fan chat.
Okay.
So, I'm going to read this
in
question.
In the porn storm, you found text.
From Oregano D, I just thought of a question. What is your favorite thing about attending and or traveling to a con, not necessarily furry?
I like the costumes.
Oh, like a non-furry con?
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, show me your uniqueness. Be the best goddamn insert character here that I've seen.
Like that fucking Mystique cosplay. Yeah.
God, that one was fucking brilliant. Isn't that amazing? God.
For those that haven't seen it, she's transferring between Colonel Stryker and her natural blue form.
And they managed to do like the pixelating kind of halfway between, like it goes halfway down to your face
blue scaly effect. Yeah.
It's like, it's fucking brilliant. It's, oh my God.
It's the best Mystique cosplay I've ever seen. It's awesome.
I see Mystique in like full blue form, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But that transforming one, holy shit.
Go and just be like, I'm Mystique, I've just taken the form of a fat white nerd.
Well, there you go. There's your cosplay for the next con you go to.
Yay!
At New York Comic Con, there was a couple of super obscure ones. Like, there was this one, it's like, Jean Grey from a comic from the 70s. Like, Professor Xavier is a jerk! And it's this kind of oddly pastel drawing, and they had actually got the clothing all matched and had a word bubble, like, thing that they wore that said, Professor Xavier is a jerk!
In, like, a proper font and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then there was an Arthur who just... He had the little weird ears, and he just made the fist.
Yeah, and I saw the close-up of it, and it's like that feeling when they don't know what you're cosplaying. And it's just
like the fist. So, my big deal is the cosplay.
What's mine? Like, for me, with like a lot of the furry cons I attend, it's like seeing friends doing some of the writing panels with them and stuff like that. Just the creative fuel of having other people that are really, really into this thing that I'm into, and we get like really excited about the future, and we come up with like project ideas and stuff like that. My favorite thing about getting to a con is nearly killing Saverin and I.
Yeah. Oh, you mean surviving the trip there?
Yeah, surviving the trip there. No, in all honesty, though, the thing I like about getting to a con is when I'm driving, I far prefer driving to flying, but getting a chance to listen to audiobooks, and I just sort of, like, zone into that, and, you know, that's fun.
I don't do a lot of cons, mostly Fiesta, and that's, you know, enjoying working it.
Your favorite thing is being in the dealer's room.
Actually, it kind of is.
It must be. You keep doing it.
Yeah.
At, like, different cons.
Well, it's partially because I'm known for doing it, and then it just kind of snowballs.
You have a reputation now.
And that's partially, I mean, when I was younger in the fandom, it was doing art and seeing other artists and kind of networking. Then later on, when I stopped drawing and doing as much, it was seeing people. It was occasionally going through the den and commissioning and, you know, getting, like, physical art from a artist.
And your big thing was, like, throwing the parties for a long time.
Yeah, and that's also it. Is I usually throw a big room party when I was at cons. Like, when I did A-Con, my big thing is, yeah, I like the cosplay, and I like, you know, just doing general things. But I used to throw really big room parties. When I was working at a particular job, I was doing tech support for Toshiba, and this is back when projectors were a big deal. Mm. I could borrow a projector for a weekend.
Oh,
so
nice.
I would borrow a projector, and we'd drag one of our computers in. And this is back when anime was not as big, and we would throw anime up on a wall in like a hotel room and just stream anime series people hadn't seen before.
Cool.
You know, all the obscure stuff that nobody knows how to get, we would have, and then we would just do that.
You had the fucking hookup.
Yeah, you remember that.
Like
yeah.
The fan dubs.
Yeah, the fan dubs. Stuff that wasn't in the U.S.
Fan subs.
Yeah, and hard to get in
fan
the U.S.
Fan subs, right. I was trying to say the right thing.
Godfuzz, get it right.
There are some fan dubs that are not bad either, but you know, yeah. That's kind of gone by the wayside now that the studios are getting better.
Well, that and you can get access to the anime. Like, there's very few actual fan
sub groups
anymore.
Or next day for some stuff.
Yeah,
you say?
Like, and this season's off to a really fucking good start too. I'm liking this season of anime.
Yes, I am. Downloads still a ton, so.
But I pay for Crunchyroll, so whatever. But there's some good stuff this season. There's some dumb stuff. There's some good dumb stuff.
Oh my god, the tits ass fighting one. Oh my god.
Kaijo, yes.
What the fuck?
It is. It's so funny because it is tits and ass.
Come on, Sarah, talk about tits and ass.
I'm talking about tits and ass, and, like, it's tits and ass, but they take itself super seriously. It's about the training and the special moves, and it's just like any other sports anime.
It's about except that it's wrestling with tits and ass.
It's wrestling with tits and ass. You, like, your hands can't touch. If any part of your body other than your feet touches the platform, you lose. If you contact your opponent with anything but your tits or ass, you lose. And, like, all these gymnastic moves, and there's actually a pretty wide variety of bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, they're not like, aha, look at this fat character, she's a joke. No, she's like a former world, like, world class, and she's a trainer at this prestigious school for kaiju athletes, and it's dumb, but it's funny.
Chris the Hybrid posted a clip of that on Facebook, and I'm like, and I watch it, because I can't stop watching it, and at the end, it's like, I reply, it's like, what the fuck did I just watch? Because, oh my god.
Yeah, it's really funny, but my friend, James was just like, no.
I'm really amused how you defended it and said, no, 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 it's all about the training. It was sort of like, I read Playboy for the articles.
Well, it doesn't do much for me on the tits or ass side, really. But it's just, it's funny. But Magical Raising Project is it's a cutesy magical girl show that go in Grimdarks. If you're, like, a fan of Madoka, you'll kind of be in that thing. There's a really fucking cool one called Shifters. Or no, Drifters. Drifters. And it is basically, it's done by the same dude that did Helsing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Alucard would not be out of place in this anime in terms of its art style. It looks like a fucking classic-ass anime.
Oh, there's one.
And it's like people from different time eras get pulled out of time at the moment of their death and sent to an alternate dimension where they're fighting some enemy that...
Sounds like Millennium, but for characters.
Yeah.
There's one that Siam downloaded for me that I still have to sit down and watch. It's called, like, the Mage... Lord Mage's Bride or something like
that. Oh, yeah, that's an OVA. And you have to kind of know, like, what it's from to benefit from it.
Mm. I like the art style.
The art style's real pretty. Occultic 9 is kind of that same way. It's got a very Persona-looking art style.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? I think we started watching, like, nearly a dozen between, like, several long standard shows and a bunch of shorts.
I need to get you the name of the webcomic. I actually have on my monitor in the office. It's, I think it's Shattered Starlight. And it's a really good art, and it's a magical girl. What happens after magical girls have been gone out of teenage years and are still got their powers, still can do the whole transform, but they've aged up and they've seen some shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Madoka Dark, but not quite.
Oh.
Well, and like, it's so far, it's really fucking good, and the style is excellent.
It's Madoka Dark.
Well, yeah, Madoka is a famous series because it has a twist. It fools you the first few episodes that it's going to be a cutesy little magical girl series and doesn't really hint that much at the actual darkness behind the show.
Uh-huh.
And then episode 3 happens, and the best tagline for every episode after that is then it gets worse for the characters.
And
where's... Okay, he's by the fence. I thought I heard, like...
No, there's little dogs next door, and they're messing around. Oh, okay. Tangenting on that, it's like Steven Universe gets a weird rep for its fan base.
Yeah.
But
the show itself has apparently gotten real fucking good, and I suppose I should sit down and watch it.
Okay, I am not a super animation... I mean, I'm an animation fan, but I don't sit down and latch onto a lot of the modern stuff. I am a diehard fan of Steven Universe. That thing is fucking dark.
Oh, yeah.
But we sit down and we watched it, and it's like, holy crap, this is a kid's cartoon? This is not a kid's cartoon.
Like, Tyrion really enjoyed that one, too. Like, yeah. He started watching it.
I mean, they're quick little 10-minute, 15-minute at most episodes.
Oh, I don't
and
know.
And so you can popcorn. I mean, there's some, like, full there's 20, full 26 25.
Minutes.
But
the
most
are, like, 13
but, yeah,
or whatever.
But a lot of them are, like, popcorn. And it starts out as like, okay, it's
weird slice of life cartoon.
And you have to
then the storyline kicks in.
You have to watch, it's about 20 episodes, but you have to realize it's 20 half-size episodes. So about 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And then you start getting a hint of there's something weird going on. And then as it goes on, you realize, holy shit, this is not...
It kind of sounds like the way season one of BoJack Horseman went.
And it's very gender weird friendly.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's kind of self affirming if you're not gender compliant. And hell, the last couple of episodes they brought on supposedly. He's sniffing your hands.
He's like, do you have a treat? Do you have a treat there, Fuzz?
No, yeah. I think I have ham on my. Or pork on my finger, baby.
You're just a man made of ham.
I think he just likes sniffing things. The dog suddenly decided to investigate Fuzz when he was stretching. But there's just like this... Oh, Fuzz. And...
Why are you fussing?
I woo.
Oh, he thinks I'm a dog.
Well, if you woo at him, that's kind of an invitation to play, so...
Aw, but I like a wooing.
What are you fussing about?
What? I know, it's because I'm
apparently,
a big bad wolf.
This, he had a lot to say, too.
Yeah, that's his opinion. Oh, and then he bonks his head into the table.
He's still a dog. I mean, he's a good dog. So, like, last three episodes from the most recent one, they introduced a new human character where I just kind of went, holy shit, she's kind of lesbian hot. I was like,
oh, the one with Pearl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Can we see more of her? Because she's kind of dykey and kind of hot.
So, Voltron is also another West...
Do you want a hoodie?
I'm allergic to cats, though.
It's clean. It's hanging in the closet.
I know cat houses. They get everywhere.
But the new DreamWorks Voltron's fucking good, too.
I've been watching that while exercising.
Yeah.
I didn't know DreamWorks was making it.
Yeah, me and James fucking marathoned that at the tail end of the anime season because it's had a staggered end and a staggered start. So there's a week where you had, like, two shows and nothing else had started yet. So we're like, all right, Voltron time.
I was really leery about it, but I really enjoyed it. I'm just afraid it's going to go Thundercast, where Thundercast was actually really good.
They actually they contracted for 72 episodes to start. So they have contracted.
So that's like syndication minimum right off the bat, right?
They're going to do the full fucking thing. And Voltron Season 2 starts later this year, I think, or in the spring. Because they had a big deal at NYCC.
Cool.
The other one that, like, I don't know if they're going to do more with it is the dub of the French cartoon called Lolirock.
And what?
Lolirock.
Is it Loli?
Yeah, the three. It's a magical girl show, but French. Mm-hmm. And it features a bunch of pony voice actors. So you have...
The dub of it does?
Yeah, the dub of it. So you have, like, Kelly Sheridan and Micah Hendricks, Vincent Tong, a bunch of, like, Ashley Ball's in it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you have, it's Rainbow Dash and a couple of the characters, and like the mom, she's kind of, it's the aunt that the main character lives with is Tabitha St. Germain, and she's using like her Mrs. Cake / Luna voice, depending. So it's really funny, but that's also on Netflix. But that was also,
check that out.
It's not my thing, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's partially one... seeing what they do with it. And I also haven't watched very many French cartoons, so I'm kind of curious on what their
art. Oh, if you can, dig up Wakfu.
Wakfu?
That's fucking good. Wakfu. It's based on, like, an MMO game called Dofus. But Wakfu, it has, like, three seasons plus some OVAs. And it's flash animated, but it's really well done. And the character designs are super appealing. There's lots of furry character designs, furry races. And it's actually been out for a little while. They recently got, like, their first theatrical film in France.
There's also a neat one. I actually saw this coming through. It'll be at the Angelica. But unfortunately, it's on the 21st, and you got that, and I'm now having to watch money. There's a neat one out making a circuit, and people might want to look at it, called Miss Hokusai. It's almost got a Miyazaki look, but it's about...
Let's see.
The woman who did the famous, that wave block print that you see a lot from Japanese, that big, like, three-crested wave.
Yeah.
And it looked really pretty and really interesting. It's almost got a Studio Ghibli look, though it's not by Studio Ghibli, I don't think.
Let's see.
But it's got kind of that feel. And I saw, like, the trailer for it. It looked really good. I just... You know, I was probably going to look at the price at the Angelica, and I might think about going in down and doing it, but it looked really interesting.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what studio did it, and it doesn't mention.
You'll probably pull up the IMDb.
I'm on the IMDb.
Oh.
But
yeah, it looked really neat. Hi, we're a bunch of animation nerds.
Yeah. We are a bunch of nerds.
Gotta keep it animated.
So hey, write in about cartoons and anime and shit, I guess.
Yeah, might as well.
Might as well, right? So, we do have some emails, though, and my battery is... Actually, only it's at 69% after 45 minutes.
Okay.
So, that's good.
Alright, so...
Let's stop and save an email. So, BRB. And we're back. We have taken our break, distracted the doggo...
Yes.
You know, because we had to relight some coals, and Bo does not like the torch at all. Like, it bothers him for whatever reason. And have thrown balls, and now he is sitting... Oh! He has dropped the ball within range for me to throw it for him.
That's how you get him to play fetch. You ignore him, and he will eventually bring the ball within range.
He sets it down, and he, like, looks at the ball, looks at me, and he's like, okay, I have a ball thrower. So I just had to reach down and fling it, and it flicks it pretty far. So, yay, doggos.
Yay.
So, we're going to get emails now and Tumblr stuff. So you can always email us at notcast@foxreference.com. You can hit our Tumblr, go to notcast.com. It'll take you to our Tumblr. I have unfucked the layout. It is now a very basic layout, but all of our stuff's on a drop-down menu. You can get to it easier. And, you know, just email in kind of about whatever. Because that seems to be how things go. So,
some relationship, mostly whatever.
Yep.
I'm cool with it.
So, this first one is from the Wolfie Man. Good to hear from him. Christ, what a news cycle. Hey there, guys. And gal, if she's hanging around. First off, Shiva, I am so sorry for the workplace bullshit. I fucking hate companies that think human resources are meant to be strip-mined. Unfortunately, I suspect my own employer is setting up a similar stunt here... But hopefully I'll be wrong, really hoping that you can get to the best possible revenge, a better job with a better company that actually values what you bring to the company. Second, I thought this might be of interest to y'all. There's a certain reptilian-fronted insurance company that's decided to cancel their originally planned company programming for National Coming Out Day, at least in the office down in your neck of the woods, because it might be offensive to have that sort of thing out in the open. So, as a listener of Last Podcast on the Left, and saying reptilian-fronted insurance company, do you mean... All of them. the Dallas Voice article, Geico nixes National Coming Out Day. So apparently they didn't do any National Coming Out Day stuff at the Dallas office, which is odd.
Oh, fuck the Geico then.
That's... Yeah, because Geico, like, don't they normally... I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen them in the Dallas Pride Parade. Or whatever, they call it the Freedom Parade here. Let's pull that up, because, yeah, that's interesting.
Because we had an interesting thing at our work where we had the, you know, the mailing list for the LGBT group, and, like, it goes to, like, the whole staff distribution list. And apparently, somebody or somebodies, I don't know how many, asked if there were certain emails that they could opt out of receiving. And
the response from the company was, no, you can't. Because it's like, this is something that the company really believes in and really stands behind. And, yeah. Wow. Yeah, no.
Okay, so, hang on. So, this is surprising. I was wrong. Apparently, I guess they don't. So, employees in the company's diversity group in Richmond planned a celebration during lunch with a display. The company stopped that because it would be a sensitive subject to some of our employees to discuss. Yet the company has allowed displays for Women's History Month, Black History Month, and Cinco de Mayo. In order to not offend anyone, the table and exhibit were replaced by the company with a one-paragraph, easy-to-delete email that mentions its National Coming Out Day. GEICO is a division of Berkshire Hathaway. So are Nebraska Furniture Mart, Burlington Northern Santa Fe, Acme Brick, Fruit of the Loom, many others. On the Human Rights Campaign 2016 Corporate Equality Index, Berkshire receives a score of 0. That means it doesn't even have a simple, no-cost, non-discrimination policy that includes sexual orientation or gender identity.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah. Other insurance companies with offices in DFW area include AIG, CNA, MetLife, Nationwide, New York Life, State Farm, and Travelers, all of which have a rating of 100. Liberty Mutual, which is moving its headquarters to Plano, has an 85.
To be fair, GEICO, they talk a good game. I used to be with them. I actually have my insurance switching away from GEICO.
So, some companies with low rating don't actually translate those poor policies into outright discrimination, but GEICO did. After the Pulse shooting, a gay couple who each worked for a different insurance company discovered that where you work makes a difference. They had lost a friend in the massacre. The partner who worked at New York Life was offered counseling by his company. The partner who worked at GEICO was sent home on leave. When employees tried to put together an LGBT employee resource group at GEICO, they were accused of trying to start a union and threatened with dismissal.
Whoa, that's fucked up.
And according to sources, even the promised National Coming Out Day email never went out, going back on the little the company's area management said they would do.
Damn.
So, GEICO's shitty, guys. Fuck their lizard. But don't actually fuck their lizard.
Oh, I'm sure he's on FA.
As an update, the email mentioned in that article actually got rejected as well, so they just decided to ignore it, as well as other bullshit the guy that talked to the voice had to put up with. He's looking for a new job, but would like to make sure people know that 15 minutes may save some people the discomfort of dealing with a company that treats its LGBT employees respectfully.
Wow.
And finally, that triple murder case. I just wanted to pipe up to provide the update. The charges have not been pressed against the daughter, so the cops seem to be reasonably satisfied that, at the very least, there's not a case against her. I just want to make sure the word get out to the community that none of the children of the victims are apparently involved with committing the crime. I'd hate for her to lose one of her best possible support networks because people missed the part of the story where there weren't any charges pressed. Fucking hell. 2016, people. Because I'm pretty sure that rampant insanity, screaming madness, and the end of all human life is probably the lesser evil compared to things continuing the way they are now.
No shit.
Alan Lee Yours, the Wolfie Man.
It definitely makes sense that the cops would pick up the runaway missing daughter as a person of interest.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
And then guilty. People stopped paying attention. But then they determined whether she had anything to do with it or not. And apparently in this case, she did not. And that is very important to know. And this is sort of, this story has sort of died down in fandom circles. So yeah, that totally needs to be out there if this poor girl gets back on her FA. And like, because I saw before they suspended the account, a lot of people were leaving shouts on her user page like,
yeah,
you fucking bitch, how could you do that to your family and stuff like that. And I guess FA just, admins deleted all that shit.
That's good. Really dumb. I mean, it doesn't matter if, like, they're not gonna fucking see it. You're just virtue signaling like a dumbass. Look at me, I'm condemning murder. So easy. Aren't you so brave?
Ugh. Like, there was a furry I knew that went to jail for child porn, and people were leaving comments on his page like, banned IRL for CP, lol, and stuff like that. And it's like, he's not going to see that. He's probably not going to have access to a computer for...
ever.
I don't know if it's ever or a long, long time or what. Like, even after you get out, you're on supervised stuff for a while and everything. It's sort of like, okay, guys, yeah, it should be a non-controversial statement to say child porn is bad. It doesn't make you a hero to leave
messages like that, I guess.
On their shop page that they'll never get access to again.
Yeah, and at least not without knowing the full fucking story. I mean, Christ, if your parents get killed, you're not actually accused. I mean, that's about the worst thing that you can come back to.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll have cleaned that up if she does ever wander back into the furry scene, but I don't know if that'll ever happen, and we probably won't hear too much about it because it involves a murder case and she's a minor.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
All right, so, Fuzz, do you want this one?
No, you can pull it. Yeah.
I got the next one up.
Oh.
Well, I'm assuming you're working from the bottom. From
yeah, the there was one, the little ask about Guild Wars 2.
Oh, okay. All right, so
you can read the bigger one.
I'm going to read this one. It is subject line, advice on rimming.
Butt stuff.
No, you stuff the butt after the rimming. Yo, Notcasters. Figured I'd pick your brain on some helpful sex strategies. Rimming. Analingus. Eating ass. Isn't as often done by our straight buddies, but for gay men, it's a sex act that comes standard.
No. Go on.
Saverin is the rare fox who will not rim.
No, I will not.
Nor will Shiva, apparently.
No.
Not all that kinky. You won't impress a gay dude by disclosing that you're a fan or even raise an eyebrow. I'd even go as far as to say that as a gay top, you have an obligation to be damn good at rimming.
No.
Go on, I suppose.
I'm not putting my two cents in it, so well, everyone knows my stance on rimming. But in your opinions, what's the best way for a guy to know his partner is clean enough down there to be licked? We know the area naturally cleans itself after some time. Not really. And rimming is about as safe as oral sex when it comes to STI risk. Helpful link, which they can't click on an oral podcast, but oh well. We'll check it out. But nobody wants to accidentally eat out a dirty partner. Is it best to ask and just do a quick visual inspection, or would you folks advise for more? Always interested in your thoughts. Rar Charwolf.
I say give a good sniff.
So, I guess I'm the only one here that's eating ass, I'm going to assume.
Not my thing.
Okay, so I do like to rim someone occasionally if I'm about to pound them. And I mean, basically, if your butt smells like butt, then that's kind of indication that you didn't take extra precaution before having sex. Like, if you're heading over to someone's place for a booty call, hopefully you've done due diligence and stuff like that, which I've also seen the expression, this is kind of gross, but for anal sex, I've seen the expression, good boys don't serve gravy.
Yeah.
What?
Like, when you put on a condom and lube and you fuck someone, and if they're kind of dirty,
it's,
yeah, good boys don't serve gravy. So, clean your shit up literally before you go in. You know, a good shower beforehand, or if your partner has just come out of the shower and you know they're clean, that's a good time to do it. Take him out in the front yard, stick him on the fire hydrant for a little bit.
Hose them off.
Okay, maybe not do that.
Not the front yard, no.
Not the front yard.
Backyard, if you have a good high fence, okay.
But visual inspection, smell inspection.
You know, and the link that the dude sent was like, use a barrier. Basically, dental dam. Use a
opened-up
condom if you need to.
The safe sex advice is use a dental dam.
The realistic advice.
And the safe sex advice for blowing a guy is have them wear a condom. And the safe sex advice for eating out a girl is a dental dam. The real life advice is nobody does these. Well, the real life situation is nobody does these things. So if it's someone I know, someone I trust, and they pass the sniff test and the visual test, I will eat their ass if I'm in the mood, and it's the mood strikes.
It's kind of like if you're doing anything anally, because I will peg and other stuff.
Yeah.
There's always, what I do is I have in the bedside table, I have a box of wipes. Just like baby wipes.
Mm-hmm.
And, pop open that, pull a couple out, clean the area. If you're worried at all, just give everything a quick wipe. And then, you're probably a lot safer just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
because even with pegging, you don't want to pull it out and like go to Brown Town. No. You know?
And plus, there's douching. There's other options for what you can do.
This is the only time that douching is a positive thing, because douche, don't be a douche.
And also, I have to say this.
I have that on a bumper sticker. No.
And also, as girls. It's highly advised, don't actually douche. It's not really... It's a good chance for getting infections, and it's not actually a good idea for girls to use it on that area. Do wash. Do be sanitary. Yeah.
But there's a lot of natural flora that...
Yeah.
Yeah, that if you
I was going to say flora and fauna, but that implies pussy troll.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if yeast counts as flora or fauna. But anyways, if you throw things out of whack, you're going to get...
It's bacteria, so that's flora.
No, it's yeast. Yeast isn't bacteria. Yeast is its own critter.
It's a mammal.
Either way, make sure your partner's clean. Right. Don't just pick a dude off the street and be like, I'm going to eat that ass.
And the same thing if you're going down on a girl, too. Yeah. Because, to be fair, there's some
sweaty
nasty...
pussy does not smell good.
No. Yeah, dirty pussy smells... way worse than a dirty ass, in my opinion.
No.
Look, just...
I've been around a girl that, and I've been at work, and you can smell when they walk by, smell and I'm like, I am not eating there at that particular fish market restaurant. Shiva, Shiva, on a related note... We had an email last week that Sarah and I were like, well, fuck, I wish Shiva was here. But it was having sex while the girl is on her period. And do you remember what the context of the question was? Was it whether they should do it or what our thoughts were on it or something?
Yeah, I think it was just like, would you have sex with someone on their period? I'm like, maybe?
So, I guess... To sort of phrase it, I guess, it's like, I know that there's some point in the period where, women will be really horny because the natural breeding instinct, I guess, for lack of a better term, kicks in. And then there's other points where you're like, I don't want anything to do with anything because I'm in a lot of pain. So I guess if you could just give us a rundown on that.
So real quick, every girl is different, so you have to also take it with a grain of salt. Usually days leading up to it, I get really horny. That's one of the things where, things are about to come in, because goddammit, I can think about nothing but dicks. Most of the time, 28-day cycle, most of it I'm actually far more driven towards female form. Right before that strikes, I like dick. I want penis. During it... it's actually, if you're in a lot of pain, it's actually supposed to alleviate a lot of the cramps, because it kind of helps everything flex, and as opposed to just kind of locking up an owl. For me, I mean, I have. But I'm weird because I've got a very unusual cycle. I barely do anything at all. Between a combination of medical issues, I can't have kids, and that's one of the things. But partway through it, it's mostly orgasms get weird partway through. For me, they just stop doing much. I get all the way through and I orgasm, but they're not strong. They're not anywhere near what they normally are. It's really weird, and that's partially one reason why I'm not big on it. But your mileage may vary depending on the gal, how your biology works, where your hormones are,
the severity of your cramps, because some women don't get them at all. Some women get excruciating.
It's a lot like having a very sore back and kind of a sore, like, below your navel all the way down to the bottom of your pelvis is very sore and tender. It kind of feels like somebody's punched you a couple days ago, and you're in that sore after, you know, after you get past the initial...
It's like after you've met Donald Trump.
Yeah, and you're just kind of, you're on that healing stage of a punch where the muscles are sore, but the initial impact, ouch, is gone, and everything is just unpleasant. It's perfectly safe. You're not going to hurt anybody. It may alleviate the cramps. It may be a little bit gross. It really depends on...
Is this the actual bleeding part at mm-hmm. that point?
Okay.
Well, usually period is like the actual time when you're actually menstruating. Mm-hmm. The days leading up to it is PMS, which is basically where you're thinking about a lot about dicks. And PMS can be anything from, if you've ever been really tired and everything makes you fucking cranky, you kind of feel like a toddler that's about to have a meltdown, and every little thing just kind of, it's like being super tired and you get that cranky, fuck everything, leave me alone. That's a lot of what it feels like, at least for me. You just kind of, that's the best way I could describe it at any other time, is when you've had poor sleep, when you're at the point of nerves are jangled, every little thing bothers the fuck out of you. Mm-hmm. And you can't control it because, well, it's like being overtired. Yeah. You've been there. Mm-hmm. And
not with a period, but being overtired.
Yeah, that's the closest thing I can equivalent it to not in the hormonal swing.
Yeah.
Is that overtired fuck everything. Everything gets on your nerves. You kind of feel... For me, it's kind of like getting cranky. You know, toddler cranky, where you find yourself getting... I'm sappy. I like a lot of the feel-good stuff out there, and...
Rom-coms?
Usually it has to do with, like, animal rescue things. Like, oh, they saved this kitten from...
And then the Sarah McLachlan song comes on, and you just lose
you
start it.
And you're more prone to getting teary because, oh, they saved the kitten, you know, and right. things like that. And it's mostly, from what I understand, the reason why gals do this is your body stops producing estrogen or one of the hormones the couple days before you cycle, and your body kind of goes into withdrawal symptoms and starts having a conniption fit. Yeah. And that's where kind of the PMS is, because your body is basically nick fitting for a hormone that's supposed to be there, and that's where the PMS crankiness comes from. And then from there, you know, body decides, hey, let's reset everything, and then you start all up again. The weirdest thing for me, like I said, is 99% of the time I am female driven. I find women appealing. A lot of my fantasies are about women, female body. You know, if I'm looking at things, you know, my hard drive, if you were to open up my porn folder, it looks like it belongs to a 14-year-old boy. It's 99% females. Mm-hmm. But those 3 days, three or so days, especially the day right before, it's, holy fuck, I want dick. I want dick a lot.
It's really interesting to me because I know you're bi. I'm wondering how, like, 100% lesbian, how that affects them, if they have the same, like, sort of desire kick in, or whether it's maybe very muted because they don't have that attraction at all.
And that's...
I mean, no one's 100% one way or the other, so...
Yeah, and that's always been something that really made me wonder how... Yeah, how hormones and everything play into human sexuality. Just because I do have that sudden, strong tilt to... You know, and at that point, I still like the look of women and everything else, but it doesn't get the engine starting quite in the way, same way. But for those 3 days, I can almost understand what being straight is like, because, yeah, dick on the brain. So it's weird. And it's really kind of fascinating from a science standpoint about what's going on? How does this all play into human sexuality? Because humans are fucking weird.
Human sexuality is like, I almost envy people that go into that as a field, because it's like,
it's fascinating.
It's really fascinating and really complex, and I don't know if anyone and really fully understands it. You know, because they're like, they're discovering new shit all the time, it seems like.
What do humans want? To fuck. Unless they don't want to fuck, because there's that part of the population too.
Whatever. Right, yeah. You need like an asterisk beside everything.
Humanity because... wants to fuck. Yeah. Asterisk, star, cross, double cross, Satan, pentagram.
Yeah, yes, there's like caveats to
everything.
On that note, and I don't think this is really a spoiler, because it's something that I think people should know about this particular book. That in the Kyle Gold series, Dangerous Spirits, the third book is Black Angel, and it's told from Meg the Otter's point of view. And she wrestles with her sexuality in that book. And there's a lot of talk that there's a lot of thoughts that she might be asexual. And she's trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm not really attracted to girls, I'm not really attracted to guys. Like, she has lesbian friends, and they all want her to be a lesbian, of course. And she hangs out with her two gay roommates, so she's, you know, involved in, she's around the LGBT community, and then kind of figuring out that maybe she's this other thing, and she has to explain it to everybody and stuff like that. So, if you're...
Is she a skinny? Does she like hairless apes?
No. But so just kind of putting it out there, like, if you're asexual, there is a book in the furry community that actually addresses that and has an asexual lead character. And
that's neat.
It's a book I really enjoy. And I bring it up now because I read it, like, I don't know, nearly a year ago to do a proofreading pass on it. But I just listened to the audiobook, and it's the same guy that did the first two books in the series. And it's a really good series. You should check it out. And, you know, it's, if you buy it on Audible, I'm not getting any money off of it. So this is not a self-serving, buy these books kind of thing. You know, go to Audible and look it up.
But you like furry books in general.
But I like furry books in general. You know, and we do sell the paperback in the Kindle, or the ebook edition. But
that's neat.
It's a book that I think more people... you should definitely read.
Hmm.
And I believe that series is like... I've read some of the Out of Position books. I need to read the rest. But, like, I feel very strongly about that series. I think it's some of Kyle's best work.
Hmm.
And it, especially that last one. His stuff just gets better and better. So I think that's one everybody should check out.
At least to be able to understand the mindset.
Yeah. On another note about female sexuality, this was in the news recently. Janet Jackson just became pregnant for the first time, and she's 50.
Huh.
So that's really interesting. And they're like, and there's pictures of her, and she's very pregnant. I'm not sure when she's due, but she's due soon from the look of the pictures.
That's amazing. And I mean, people were like, dangerous.
Well, people were saying like, oh, thank you so much for being, you know, for being out about this, about being pregnant, because it gives us older gals sort of a feeling that it's not too late, you know? Because the wisdom used to be...
38 was about the cutoff that they recommended.
Yeah, yeah, like don't get pregnant, you know, past late 30s, early 40s.
38 was pretty much the advice cutoff. After 38, mm-hmm. the risk goes up incredibly higher. It's just, it's astronomically higher after 38, and it just keeps growing later on. There was actually someone else who a gal had something where she couldn't get pregnant, so her mom, they actually took the eggs out of the gal, and her mom actually carried the baby for it, and her mom was like in her low 50s.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's amazing.
That's a really... selfless thing for the mother. Well, I mean, she wants a grandchild, of course, but I mean, that's really something to do for your kid. Because
it's risky for both mother and child.
Yeah. But that's really cool that she did that
I think there was one where they actually transplanted a womb and successfully carried a kid to term, too.
Cool. Wow.
That's fucking amazing, too.
Yeah.
My God, I mean, the things that we're able to do with science these days is crazy.
So I thought that was interesting and would just, and that would add on to the email about female sexuality there. So for the listener last week, where Savard and I were kind of like, I've never had sex with a woman on her period. So, gosh, I wish Shiva were here. So thank you for answering that.
100% safe. May not be 100% comfortable. May need a quick trip to the shower afterwards. But 100% safe. Also 100% safe to have sex the entire time she's pregnant.
Yeah, like, you hear a lot of jokes about, I don't want to poke Junior in the head and, like, break the baby, or what if I fuck my wife so hard I break her water?
That's not gonna happen.
Apparently that is not a concern. So I guess
you get the two Tumblr ones, Shiva. They're from Sumichar and Rest.
Oh, okay. Looks like they both load together.
One was Sumicharar. Just listened to the podcast. Glad to hear that Fuzz got his Carl fixed.
Oh, okay.
No one wants a broken Carl, and that he's all handsome and shit.
We popped Carl's eye back in from Walking Dead. I got my Carl fixed. So signing on that, more internet stuff. You know those clickbait articles that are like, you will believe what these people look like now. And I'm like, yes, I do, because they're in a show. It's like, you will believe what the cast of Quantum Leap looks like. And it's like, well, yeah, Scott Bakula is in a show on TV right now. That's not a surprise. But
from Stranger Things, where are they now?
Oh, they're still kids. Never mind.
And they're still filming Stranger Things.
Oh.
This particular one was, you won't believe these 20 child stars that died young and didn't make the news. And the picture is of Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl in The Walking Dead. And I guess he's 15 or 17 or something like that. Still a real young guy. And he has a Twitter. And he's retweeting this. It's like, lol, guess I'm dead.
Yeah, going back to Stranger Things, though, briefly. Brief tangent, guys, sorry. Going back to cosplay from New York Comic Con. There was a woman who cosplayed as the mom from the tail end of Stranger Things. She had made, like, a backing board of, like, one of those trifold science fair kind of backboards with the lights.
Yes.
That had R-U-N. And she's holding a phone, and, like, her hair was all scraggly. She's dressed like the mom, and I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Have you seen Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It started going really creepy, and then it stopped kind of losing its creepypasta, so I stomached it better.
It is getting a second season.
I know.
And it's going to take place in 1984, so about a year after season one.
Yeah. And
I would just like to point out that we went from rimming, sex while on a period, dead children, Stranger Things cosplay.
And now we're going
to
talk about
Welcome video to Notcast.
And we're going
to
talk about video games briefly.
Well, it's really briefly. Yo, the Guild Wars 2 base game is now free. There's no subscription. If you logged into the game to stream or something, I'm pretty sure you'd have a large gang of sexy char to tag along with you for a day.
Char are the Guild Wars 2 beast race.
Oh.
They're the cow cats.
Cow cats?
Yeah, they're big, beefy, not terribly sexually dimorphic. They're the, basically, they're techno-Romans.
Mm-hmm.
They're the advanced race. They've got guns and shit. And they are cat people. And
So when I hear char, all I think is char.
Charmander. Char.
Alright, so we have two more emails. I'll hit the one from Recommendations and Other.
Okay.
Dear Notcasters, your friendly neighborhood Griffin Argus is back again for more questions. With all your talking about Furry Book Month and me finishing my third listen through the Kyle Gold Out of Position series, yay! I wanted to ask a question. What other good furry novels are out there and available on Audible? My 10-hour security job doesn't allow me to read while on duty, but thanks to technology, I have a tiny Bluetooth with me so I can listen to all the things I want. I have not only read the Out of Position series, but also Waterways and Bridges. Mm-hmm. Second question of the day is towards Saverin. I have, are you slash have you considered doing more audiobooks? Yes, I have. And yes, they're in process. No, I've had a really weird year and I haven't
gotten it done. Yeah, where's that audiobook you're doing for me, Saverin?
We can talk later.
Okay.
I enjoy your reading voice, and I can't think of many others I enjoy so much other than Victor Bavine, the reader of the Legend of Drizzt series. You really picked up your game nearing the middle of the Out of Position series. Thank you for your time, and upon reading this over, I hope I didn't come off as creepy. Love your podcast, and hashtag fuck the bunny. Argus Persimony, the local griffin. P-R-S-I-M-O-N-E. So, I'm guessing Persimony.
Okay.
I still have books and shit to read. I've just had a weird year and haven't made a lot of progress in a lot of ways. Been dealing with...
Family,
depression, con. It's been a weird, stupid year, and I'll admit it has been very hard some days to just fucking get out of bed.
Mm.
Like, this morning, I woke up at 9, and I literally laid in bed for an hour looking at my phone before I was like, fuck, I've got shit to do.
That's Saturday for me, man.
Yeah, well, it's just... getting work done and like having neighbors that have upstairs chihuahuas. Really got to talk to them about that.
Yeah.
And like there's lots of shit that I want to do and get done, and finishing shit. What's the name of the book? It's like slipping my head.
Mine? Or the one that
the one I'm ostensibly working on.
Shadows
That Linger.
Yeah.
God, I couldn't remember the name. And I do have people that are like, oh god, I want Saverin to read one of my stories, and I totally need to get back into it, but this year's been real shit.
So a couple
things. Fuck 2016, ah!
Couple things for the listener. If you like Saverin's voice, and you've listened to all the Out of Position books, you can also pick up Summerhill.
Yep.
On Audible.
By, that's...
Kevin Frayn. Which Saverin read that book, so that's another Saverin book you can pick up.
I like that one a lot. It was weird.
Also, go to Saverin's YouTube, and there's two furry stories,
there's five.
Five furry stories? Yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
There's Blacker Dog by Candrel...
No, Blacker Dogs by Husketeer.
Oh.
Rainfall by
Candrel.
The one by... It Must Be Suicide by Shiro?
It Must Be Suicide by Shiro. There was the short story about Shadows That Linger, the Christmas, like, short vignette.
Yes.
And there was a fifth furry one. And if you like pony stuff, I did three or four full fanfics plus a bunch of one shots. I've kind of stopped doing those because they're really time consuming and whatever, and never really got a lot of
traction,
which kind of sucks because, you know, it turns out when you have a fiction that features the majority female cast, being a dude doesn't give you a lot of...
It's a little bit of a detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Mm. I still had fun reading them, but I'm just kind of falling out of that scene a bit.
So, back on Audible, since he asked, and I swear I didn't know about that email before I started talking about them, Kyle's entire Dangerous Spirits series is on Audible.
Green Fairy, Red Devil, Black Angel.
Yep. And they're all read by the same narrator, so you get a real nice sense of consistency across all three books. You mentioned Bridges. Kyle narrates that himself. There's also the Waterways audiobook.
Bo?
There...
He was, like, standing on his... Like, put his paws on the fence.
There are other furry audiobooks on Audible. I know... And I haven't listened to them, so I don't know if they're in your wheelhouse or not. But Maggie Hogarth, MCA Hogarth, she has a few on there. There's one... I think it's called Claws and Starships. It's like four or five short stories in some of her sci-fi universes. And some of her other stuff is on there.
Man, I love her God King Griffin books.
Hogarth. Yeah.
I actually used to read it when she was posting on LiveJournal and taking votes on where the story goes.
Oh.
And I fucking loved it when she was publishing it. That's one of the best serial posting... stories that I've ever read in my life when she was
writing. Did you know those were available as actual books then?
I didn't until MFM when I saw them on your table.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So it's like, I wish I had money because they're here and I love them.
I wonder if they're going to do an audiobook or not. That'd be interesting. Maggie has a lot of other stuff on Audible as well. And I'm trying to think of any other furry authors I know that have audiobooks out.
Or, I don't know about furry, but the one I always go back to, and it's one of my favorite driving one, is the Jim Butcher books. And I know Tiernan listens to
them. Oh, yeah, yeah.
the guy from Spike from Buffy, James Marster, reads them.
Yes.
And it's a really good listen.
I actually listened to one of them with him when Tiernan and I were driving to Colorado for family stuff with Tiernan's family.
But he's got a nice, even tone. He's got a lot of caricature to his voice. And it's like, I think it's an 11-book series, and they made a mistake because James Marsters had a conflict, and they went with a different reader, and there was a lot of pushback because people fucking loved him, that they actually got a thing up to pay him to re-record that particular audiobook. So the whole series is now...
He's all of him.
All of him. Yeah. And he does... I don't know if he reads anything else... But he does a really kick-ass job on that series. Yeah.
He may or may not, because he's a pretty active actor. But, I mean, a lot of actors that are known and have a good voice will do, audiobooks. Another one that came off of Furry again, but Tiernan has spoken very highly of the Harry Potter audiobook series.
Yeah. I've tried those.
And there's two different versions. There's a British version by Stephen Fry and an American version by, I believe, Jim Dale is the actor's name. I think he's listened to the Jim Dale version and he really liked that. Although a lot of people swear by the Stephen Fry version.
I love Stephen Fry, so yeah,
it's probably far more British.
It's well British. I think they did it. I don't know if Jim Dale has a British accent in it or not. I mean, he might. I think it's mostly the difference is because some of the language and some of the references that would not be known to American kids.
Yeah.
One of the candies, I believe, was changed in the American edition. It might be that, I know Dumbledore eats sherbet lemons, and we don't have those in America.
Yeah.
I think for one of the books, they may have changed that or something.
I just assumed that it was a lemon candy, so, you know.
Yeah, you could sort of... One of the things that sort of irritated me is that the first book is Philosopher's Stone in Britain, and Sorcerer's Stone... Wait, or is it the other way around? And it's Sorcerer's Stone in the other country. And, they thought that kids wouldn't know what that meant, and I was like, if they're smart enough to be reading those books, you know, I think they really underestimate the kids' ability to understand shit, you know.
I love kind of what Harry Potter's done for reading in general, like young author stuff. It's always been around to an extent, but Harry Potter really kind of lit that genre on fire.
Yeah, and YA is still exploding, but anyway, so that's some furry audiobook recommendations and a lot of non-furry audiobook recommendations. So hopefully...
It's still stuff you can listen to at work, whether or not it's furry or not.
Yeah. So hopefully some of that helped you out.
Listeners can always write in and let us know, you know, if they have any other recommendations, because we're always...
Oh, I think... So, the podcast is not active anymore, but the files may still be online on the website, I think. Look up a podcast called Anthro Dreams, short for Anthropomorphic Dreams, which is the publishing company that put it out. And it's basically like a furry version of the Escape Pod podcast, where the host comes on and he introduces it, says a little about the author. Each episode is kind of themed, like around this time of year they would do Halloween episodes. Will Sanborn is the editor and host of it, and they would put the story on the website for free for you to read, and then you could listen to the podcast also. So it has a bunch of episodes in the archive and some really good short stories on there.
For story podcasts, there's always the one that Guardian turned me onto Drabblecast, which is short stories. It's pretty much all short stories, kind of Cthulhu or Lovecraftian. They're usually kind of creepy, but they're usually really good. And I've listened to it off and on various trips, and I've heard some really good stories on it. And they have 200, 300 episodes, so there's a ton of stuff to listen to.
On the
just to add on Anthro Dreams, if you like the works of Kevin Frayne, who did Summerhill, look up an episode of Anthro Dreams for a story called The Stars Are Wrong. It is a Kevin Frayne short story that appeared in a furry horror anthology, and it is really fucking good.
Oh.
So I would definitely check that out. I'm sure just Google the Anthro Dreams website, and it's probably all linked on there. So, so that was Savern.
Yeah, I read that one. Also, as a last point, like getting better between the, like in the middle of the Out of Position series. That was also when I lost all my weight and I could breathe.
Well, also Out of Position was your second audiobook, yeah. So you a I lot of it, and you also. It. Got all the soundproofing in the studio and the different mics and all that stuff yeah. Sort of halfway through.
I upped my game.
Yes.
But not your game.
Podcast. Yeah, you don't want to up that too much. Okay, so I am going to read the last one.
Too short.
This is called ACT Election. Some funny things about this year's ACT Legislative Assembly general election, because politics shouldn't be quite as horrifying as it is in America. This year we have a record number of nominees, 15 for only 5 seats. I know announced none of them. I'm not sure what the typo was there. Except that they're... Oh, maybe I know nothing about them, except that they're probably all bastards as they're politicians. And he has attached several photos of some of the campaign things. And one of them is, for all Canberrans, Cox, Canberra Liberals. And the next one is, Australian Sex Party, where you come first. And it's got the member number there. So
Australia, a wild west.
Nice.
They want... Canberra Liberals want to give Cox for Canberra. Everybody. Canberra. Want to give you Cox. So, yes, the horrifying nature of American politics. It's almost over, guys.
God help
just
us all.
Just don't, you know. Hey, don't grab anybody by the pussy. It's not nice.
Yeah.
Man.
You know.
So, wow, that Donald Trump. Oh, lucky, let's not talk about that.
You know, all I got to say, locker room talk. My locker room involves a lot of naked old men talking about their investments. There's nobody talking about grabbing people by the pussy. Or women in general.
Oh,
man, that thing.
I grabbed that Roth IRA by the pussy.
Let me tell you, man, my investments, I just grabbed them by the... No, no.
No.
I mean, yeah, I go to a higher-end gym, but it's... The most people do, like, stand around, like, we watch the fucking... Not the Rangers, it was the Red Sox. Like,
and try not to look at each other's junk.
Well, no. They've got their fucking underwear on. There was this fucking... I was slightly odd. There was this dude that was, like, sitting in... So, nice big locker room with, nice locked little lockers and all stuff. And there's a little side room that has a couch, a love seat, and a big screen TV with, like, water and stuff. So you can, like, sit down and
like
chill.
A chill-out area.
It's a chill-out post-workout room, and they've got a big screen TV, and it's usually sports.
Cool-off area.
And if I'm there, like, on Monday night, I'll turn on wrestling instead of politics on TV, or I'll watch Forensic Files, which is about, you know, cool things, like murder, and not, you know, politics, which sucks. And so, like, this guy was just sitting in his underwear, talking on the phone, watching baseball, and I'm just like, well, at least you have the body to be sitting in your underwear in the locker room in the gym. Like, it's you're all right. It's just one of those things. Because there's a couple dudes that are fucking ripped that go to my gym. And then there's a lot of older dudes as well. I mean, it's a gym, and so it's every body type, and everybody's there for their own reasons. But
there's an amusing oatmeal comic that you might have seen this. It talks about, and it's like, in the gym in your 20s, the guys all have the towels, like, wrapped around them, like, looking kind of terrified and, like, not showing anything. And then it showed in the gym in your 60s, and, like, the older guys are just standing there, fuck the towels, just all hanging out. And the guy's like,
their balls.
The guy's saying something like, you bet your wrinkled ball sack, something like that.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
I think you hit that point
finally in your 60s when you actually don't give a shit about
me, you know, it's stuff. Like, I walked to the shower from my locker nude. I got the towel, like, covering my front, but if you want to see my ass, I guess you can look at it.
Yeah.
You know, and I wrap up when I'm walking out because I want to drip water all over the floor.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've been going to fucking locker rooms. Nobody's in there. It's not like in a porn comic. People are there to fucking get ready to work out or post-workout. There is no boners. Everybody's tired. And yeah, there are plenty of old dudes who give zero fucks, and you get to see their wrinkly ass everything. But, you know, whatever. They're here to work out, same as I.
What you need to tell the listeners, though, is that the real reason that your ass is hanging out is because it takes the whole towel to wrap up and cover your enormous cock. And there's no towel left to cover your ass.
That's the implied truth of the matter. You know, because
you wrap it into a funnel and the towel's going like down to your knees. You're just walking around like, yeah, boy, they don't make towels big enough for guys like me.
Thanks, Fuzz. So that wraps it up for the emails this week.
That would suck, actually, if you were so long that you hit the floor. You'd have to get a shower shoe for the head of your dick.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, like, if that was actually the case, you know, I'd be flopping out of my gym shorts right now that I'm wearing. Because they're Nike basketball shorts.
Oh, I just figure you have it wrapped around your waist like a belt.
Oh, yeah. That's what this is. It's actually my cock.
Yeah.
It's not belly fat. It's not
loose
skin.
This isn't belly. This is all dick, baby.
God, Fuzz. As always, you guys can email us, notcastfoxstuffers.com. Notcast.com takes to our Tumblr, send anonymous asks there. We will not be recording next week, as I'll be flailing around and wishing I was drunk, probably, running a convention.
You'll be knee-deep in horse pussy.
Unfortunately, no. And she will be busy, likely as well.
I think I'm probably going to end up heading out to head to help out. I don't know what I'm going to do. It depends.
Let me take over your dealer set.
No, but she's going to be managing it, you know, sitting at the table for Fiesta.
All right, yeah, pip that bad Fiesta shit.
And
I need to get flyers.
And talking, I'm sure you'll, like, have Jace, my head of vendors, pug up, like, I have a question about X. And you'll be able to answer it because you are the queen of the vendor hall.
Or something.
Something like that. And you, Fuzz, you'll be running around.
Oh, I'll do what I did at Furry Siesta, and I will rent a suite and sell furry porn from it for all the bronies that are like, that really need to get their fix, but they can't get it in your G-rated dealer's room.
I didn't hear that.
And I'm not actually doing that.
You're not actually going to do that.
So I might have some flyers with my room number to put on Chivas tape. No, I'm kidding.
It's like, come on by. I want to see what a real horse cock looks like. It's like, you're not a horse. You're a dude. You're not a colorful equine at all. I don't like this.
It's all pink in the dark.
God.
I think you throw the blindfold on.
So, yeah. So at this point, we've burned my battery down to 47%.
That's not bad, actually. Right, because
we're going to be like an hour 40, 45 by the time this is done. But this has been really nice again, Shiva. Thank you for hosting us out here and cooking dinner again.
Thank you for dinner. It was so nice.
If this... I'm okay to keep doing this as long as, like, the weather's nice.
Yeah, this is the perfect time of year. It's going to be this perfect for, like, 3 weeks, and then it's going to drop down to the 40s, and it's going to be like... fuck sitting outside.
Yeah, I said in the Telegram chat, we gotta take advantage of the short period of time when Texas is not either boiling or freezing.
It's about like, dead anyways. We've gone through two rolls of hookah. It's about dead.
Yep.
So.
But that tangerine's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is dead. Yeah.
I wondered where my thing of blue mist went, though. It should have. I had some left. So.
And we do have a Patreon. Still doing great on that. Go to patreon.com/notcast. People get the episode the day early, and in higher quality. And so we just were able to do that. Thanks to y'all. Patreon.com/notcast. Every little bit helps. You know, someday we'll be doing world tours like the last podcast on the left, guys. We'll go to the UK and talk about cocks. Uh-huh. And then get banned from the UK because we're talking about cool shit like murderers.
That would really suck for me because it would, like, leave me without... a home country, I guess.
You're a stateless actor.
I'd be stateless. You're officially not a UK citizen anymore.
because you're awful.
Because you're awful. Oh. You talked about dicks.
Okay, so he's sitting on the ball. he's like looking at me all expectantly, like, you gonna throw the ball? And I'm like, where's the ball? It's right there under his butt. What a ruse.
I'm not getting the ball.
Hi, baby. Hi, baby. He almost defeated your... I distracted him for a moment, then, yeah.
We're all admiring Saverin's ball handling skills.
I'm good with it.
And sticks, too.
Yep.
Balls and sticks.
Balls and sticks. So.
That's really been your whole life.
Yeah. So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.
Like, where are you gonna go, Fuzz? Where are you gonna go?